the word of God to be laid upon your hearts this morning is found recorded in Genesis 31, verse 19. Now Laban had gone to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the household idols that were her father's. In Christ Jesus, dear fellow students of the Word, fellow redeemed in Christ, in our chapel devotion this morning, we have an example of syncretism. That word means the blending of elements from different religions, cultures, or philosophies to create something new. In the case of Rachel, it was blending the worship of the Lord Jehovah with the worship of idols, other gods. In other words, it was a sin against the first commandment, idolatry. It was not that Rachel did not know the Lord Jehovah. After many years of being barren, having no children, she prayed to the Lord, and the Lord blessed her with her firstborn son, Joseph, and she declared, "God has taken away my disgrace. May the Lord Jehovah add to me another son." She knew Jehovah. She most likely also believed in the coming Messiah, the Savior, that would come from her husband's line. But what did we read? Rachel had stolen the household idols that were her father's. How could this be? Well, we're not told why she did what she did. Did she really pray to and worship these household idols? Had she stolen them from her father so that he couldn't consult them and find out where she and Joseph and their family were fleeing to? Or did she steal them because she wanted to sell them and make money? Kind of like a stolen inheritance. All of these ideas were suggestions by other biblical scholars. One commentator has called Rachel's taking of these household idols as pocketing idols. Throughout the Old Testament, the sin of idolatry was very prevalent. When the children of Israel left Egypt, Moses warned them to stop worshiping goat idols. When Moses was up on Mount Sinai for 40 days, the people wearied of him coming back, and they told Aaron, "Come, make us gods that shall go before us." And Aaron made a golden calf, and they worshiped that. Some years later, Joshua told the Israelites, "Put away the gods of your fathers that you served beyond the river and in Egypt." And years later, Ezekiel says the Israelites did not forsake the idols of Egypt. There are quite a few Old Testament Israelites who pocketed idols. A couple weeks ago in church, we heard Elijah ask the people when they gathered on Mount Carmel, "How long will you falter or limp between two opinions? If the Lord Jehovah is God, follow him. If Baal, follow him." For the people, it was Jehovah and Baal. Jehovah and Asherah. For Rachel, it was Jehovah and these household idols. Idolatry was a common sin back there in the Old Testament. It's no surprise, it's a common sin today, even among you and me, Christians. Christ and. The Apostle Paul tells us that when we were brought to faith in Christ as our only Lord and Savior, we died to sin. We died to the fear, love, and trust in something and anything other than the triune God. That's what we want to do. That's how we want to live. If we live in this world in the sin of idolatry every single day. And our idols are often, in and of themselves, good. Our abilities, our intelligence, personality, our looks, relationships, family, grade point averages, success, sports, music, affections, friends, clothes, politics, work, and stuff. There is nothing evil or wrong about these many things, but if we put them ahead of God as more important than God, or trust in and rely upon them more than our Savior God, then it's Christ and. And that's idolatry. For dying to sin is not just a once-in-a-lifetime event when we become believers in Jesus as our Savior. Dying to self is an everyday, recurring, non-stop death to self worked in us by the Holy Spirit through the Word. We all still have spiritual weaknesses, self-destructive thoughts and habits, proud emotions and judgments, judgmental words and deeds, all from an egocentric, sin-filled heart. And that's why the Bible always warns us, beware, watch yourself, pay attention, stay awake, therefore keep watch. Every day, we need to check our pockets for idols. They'll be there. That's why the life of discipleship includes daily repentance, dying to self, dying to lust, desires, affections, dying to syncretism, dying to Christ and... Just ask yourself, what has grabbed hold of my heart? What's most important to me? When I'm lost in thought, what captivates and fills my mind and thoughts? What am I concerned and worried most about? Do I believe that my Savior, who lived and died and rose for me, is sufficient in my life? Or do I need something else to make me happy and satisfied and content and fulfilled? Our ongoing daily contrition and repentance is the Spirit's way of emptying our pockets of idols, and then that good news of our Savior's suffering, death, and resurrection fills our hearts with forgiveness and peace and joy and love and freedom and life. The Apostle Paul writes in Galatians, those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for that freedom. Amen. Hymn 234, verses 1, 3, and 5.